Joining me right now, one of my all-time favorites. I got a ton of respect for this guy. Before I ever said a word on the fan, I listened to him on the fan, and you probably heard me say this a bunch of times. I love the way that he handled the Yankees post-game because as fans, we are irrational. As fans, we tie our emotions to every single game. And my guy Sweeney Murdy was even keeled. He was professional, and he was the same every night. A lot of nights, it helped me calm down and go to sleep. Back on the fan right now, my OG, Sweeney Murdy. What's up, Sweeney?
My man, Keith. How you doing tonight?
Great. Always great. I mean, the coughing thing is what it is. It's hard to do a show when you have a cough, but not passing up on my opportunity, you know?
There you go. Allergy season gets to us all, my man.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is, because I'm not sick, but I just have a reoccurring cough. But whatever. Sweeney, let's start with the main thing, which I text you about. I'm like, John Sterling, you know, in my open, I talked about how many nights I listened to the pregame show with John and Susan, and then I listened to the call, and then I listened to your postgame show. That's hours and hours and hours, hundreds of hours that I've probably logged over the years, and that was a consistent thing, and that's done, no more. But I know you got to have some type of story that you want to share about John or something you want to say for all the listeners on WFAN now that John Sterling has called it official. Called it a career and decided to retire this week.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I hope it's for all the right reasons, as he has said it is, and happy for him if that's the case. So that's fantastic to hear. I haven't actually gotten a chance to speak with him yet. You know, he's been pretty busy the last couple of days, hard to get a hold of him. But I think when you think about like what you just described is, I think, what we all have to remember about how special baseball broadcasters are. You know, baseball is not once a week on Sundays. It's not every few days. Baseball is every day, you know, and it goes through, you know, it goes through the end of the spring, all through the summer, into the fall. So if you're a kid, you're going through the end of one school year, you're going through summer, and then you're getting to another school year. And it's just kind of a constant, whether you're at home, you're in the car, you're at the beach, whatever you're doing all year, you know, you're going to have a baseball game on if you're a fan. And the voices on the radio are the one constant. And for John Sterling, he got to call some of the biggest moments. I mean, you just heard it right before I came on, right? The World Series championships. And whether you're talking about Derek Jeter's 3,000th hit, or some of the other great individual moments, Aaron Judge's 62nd home run, all those little things that you remember. Whatever age you have been through all those, you're carrying all those moments with you. And John was the one describing it for you. And if you remember the 1996 World Series or the 2000 World Series, you're now an adult, right? And you're still hearing that voice, or you have been. So those are the kinds of memories that only radio baseball announcers can truly bring to you and stir up those kinds of emotions. And I know that's what every Yankee fan is going through as they, you know, think about this over the last few days and leading up to, you know, what's hopefully going to be a nice ceremony on Saturday at the stadium.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I just, you know, think about it. I'm washed. I'm like, I've been hearing this stuff since a kid. It's iconic. It's part of Yankee baseball, yourself included. You know, a parallel between you and John, you know, when your time ended here at WFAN, we saw Derek Jeter write a post about you, and Bernie Williams, and a bunch of, you know, people through baseball, not just the Yankees, but, like, you know, sports media. And John kind of had a similar effect, you know, a bunch of people reaching out to speak about John. And, you know, Bernie and GT called their whole career. And you covered their whole careers as well.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to be in the same sentence with John, okay? I recognize that I did this for a long time and I have a place on this, but, you know, John's Derek Jeter and I'm Luis Soho, okay? There's really not a fair comparison in all of this, okay? And John's going to get his place. Jokic de Leon of the Red Sox was the winner of the Ford Frick Award this year and will rightfully be recognized at the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. John's not far behind. Susan's not far behind. You know, mm-hmm. They're both going to have that. And what I appreciated was getting to share some space in a booth and some airtime with both of those two. I mean, think about it. Listen, I worked at this radio station for a very long time. I got to work with Mike and the Mad Dog. I got to work with John Sterling and Susan Waldman. Mm-hmm. And not just, for a minute, for all those guys for a long time. So I am very appreciative of the fact that there are legends, Hall of Famers. Mike Breen, when I first started, and he was calling Knicks games on FAN. All of these people, and Ian Eagle, we just heard in the Final Four, and the first of, I hope, dozens. All of these people were part of where I was for a long time. So, listen, I know my place, okay? I played with the Jeters, the Marianos, and Bernies of WFAN, and I took my place on the bench. I was along. I was there. That's fine. But these guys were fantastic. And, to bring it back to John, think about all the people, all the young baseball fans who grew up in their backyard. Anytime they hit a ball, in wiffle ball or with their friends, they're screaming, "It is high, it is far, it is gone." I mentioned this to somebody else the other day. Vince Scully is without a doubt the greatest baseball broadcaster of all time, but his style doesn't lend itself to people imitating his calls in the backyard. It's a different art form. This is something that's just is part of every Yankee fan's life, and they will hear it forever and ever in their minds.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Vin Scully. All we can do with Vin Scully is, it's time for Dodger baseball.
Well, no, listen, all of his calls of historic moments, ring true. The Hank Aaron 715th home run, which, was just the anniversary was just a couple of weeks ago. And some of the championships, the Gibson home run, some of the championship moments, the no-hitters, the Koufax perfect game. But those are all poetic moments. You go back and listen to the Aaron home run or the Koufax perfect game, and even the Gibson call. Like, they are all, just write them down and read them. It's poetry, right? Yeah. It's a different art form. John's with you for the ride and the emotion of you as a Yankee fan. And I think that's one of the things that I really appreciate, Susan mentioned the other day in an interview when she never actually watches John do the Yankees win, because when they're about to win, she's on the field getting ready for a post-game interview.
Yeah.
I was the one who got to sit in that chair next to John for the ninth inning in many of those cases for a few years. And to watch him on what is truly edge of your seat moment, when there's two on and one out and you're trying to see if they hold on. And then he leans back as the crowd rises. And then as the pitch is about to be thrown, he leans in literally on the edge of his seat. And then the excitement of the moment takes over and he's all arms and legs with those, as he belts out the Yankees win. And it's great to see that emotion, because he's living what everybody in the stadium is living at that moment. Everybody at home watching, listening, what they're living at that moment. And he feels it. He wants the Yankees to win as badly as you do, and it comes across.
Yeah, I love John. I mean, I love the fact that we've gotten him captured with the Sterling cam. The digital team decided to put the video on him the last couple seasons. That was a great idea so people could see that. I know you and I did some rain delay theater for the ALDS in 2022 with the Guardian series, where we were all kind of just in the booth thinking the Yankees were going to play, and that never actually happened. I always remember that. And, John is an icon. He is a living legend. He's a walking goat. He's one of one. And I think what I said earlier was that, we thought he was going to finish at least this whole season, since he did do the one spring training game opening day. And what just happened was he tapped out and decided that he'd rather do what he was doing in the offseason and hang it up. But it was sudden because the season had begun. So we thought that he was going to keep going, obviously not do some of the road games or whatever. But, the finality of it, the end of it hitting us on Monday, a lot of us are and were sad because it's just like, that's it. We didn't know that was the last call, but you know, he'll be on the call Saturday. And I've put this out there, if he's up to it, if he's feeling good enough for it, man, this season's for John. Let the Yankees be so good that they do get to the World Series where John says, okay, I got one more in me. I'll do game one. How great would that be?
As you know what, that we're so far away from seeing who the Yankees are and what they can be, but boy, that would be a script, wouldn't it? That'd be fantastic. I'm just glad, you know, John is going to get a moment here on Saturday, and I, you know, I'll be waiting like you are to see what the Yankees have planned and see how it's going to come across.
But are you going? Will you be there Saturday?
To be determined, but I'm hoping to be. I have a couple of things I'm juggling right now, but yeah, I'm hoping to be there. It's just going to be a great moment for him, and I'm glad for us that he didn't decide this in November after the season was over, because then months would go by, and then we'd have a day like this, and it would, you know, the emotion is still high right now. Yeah. Where if he tells us now, and then they had the day for him, you know, a few days later, you know, there's real joy and emotion, and that sadness too, for sure. But joy for what we experienced, and that we can share with him how much we love him. That's what I'm hoping comes across on Saturday.
Great point. It's on top of the Judge bobblehead day, and it's on top of a matchup with the Rays. Let's talk a little baseball. I know you're paying attention. I know you're still covering the game. I know you just wrote some stuff about Jackie Robinson I was checking out, and you're still tapped in with the Yankees. And like you said, we don't know exactly what they're going to be, but I think so far so good, coming off of 82-80, having Juan Soto, having Alex Verdugo, and seeing Marcus Stroman and some of the different additions, even Oswaldo Cabrera being a different player so far this year. What are your thoughts about the Yankees in this early on? I mean, they are the first team to 13 wins. They're in first place, and Aaron Judge hasn't even looked like Aaron Judge.
And that's going to still happen, right, at some point. And I think, you know, listen, how many times have we been through this with a season? You know, you're not going to get every night where it's Judge, Soto, and Stanton all hitting home runs, right? That's, you know, you're going to count on maybe one hand where those three just all light it up and carry the team for a game. But throughout the course of a season, you expect them to be who they are, which is great because it kind of comes and goes with different parts of the lineup, and you hope that somewhat consistency 1 through 9 is what gets you through the season, and those guys are who they are. I think their lineup is still fairly top heavy, but I think that's okay for now. And the games that they're stealing right now are great because I think we all still are a little unsettled with what their pitching staff is for the course of a 6-game season. You want to steal as many games as you can until Garrett Cole comes back, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of what you want to do. You want to steal as many games as you can until Aaron Judge starts going off. And his numbers really aren't that bad. It's, you know, I understand what people looked at a couple of games in the Toronto
series. They're just not him. Yeah. They're not, he's not himself yet.
But you'll get there. I mean, I look at them every year and say, you know, my whole thing is, do I think they can win 90 games? And the answer to that is yes, I think they can win 90 games. And after that, you kind of see what they look like when they get there, right? Because, I mean, this version right now doesn't have Garrett Cole. Do you think this version wins the World Series?
No.
Probably not. So you have to see what they look like. You know, are Soto and Judge healthy and Cole healthy? And, you know, how's their bullpen settled? Is Clay, you know, how's Clay Holmes pitching in the second half of the season? Those kinds of things are all the kinds of things that you're going to figure out as the season goes on. You don't have to have it all figured out. You know, and that's kind of what I used to, what you referred to is like, okay, wins are good, and you say, okay, this is what they look like, and it's fantastic. Take it, put it in the bank, and move on. Losses, okay, you're going to see areas that concern you, but there's time to fix them. And this loss on this particular night doesn't mean that the reason you lost this game doesn't have to mean that's the reason you're not going to win the World Series. You know, there's a lot, you know, and I go all the way back to 1996 when that team was 92-70. You know, they lost 70 games, and they were down 2-0 in the World Series. Even the 98 Yankees were down 2-1 to Cleveland in the ALCS before they had to come back. So, you know, there are going to be parts that test you, and I think we're taking the fun out of everything if we try and figure out every single day of the season if this team is good enough to win the World Series. It's, you know, that's, you know, they play a lot of games. Let's enjoy them.
If you haven't listened to WFAN over the last few decades, that's the voice of Sweeney Murdy on the line with me. I don't think I have to do a caller ID, but why not? Sweeney Murdy was nice enough to give us some time. Sweeney, have you paid attention to the Mets and, you know, what they've become over the last 13 games? I think they've been a great story in baseball and a pleasant surprise.
And happy for Carlos Mendoza, who got off to a little bit of a rough start there.
Yeah, LGYN.
And, you know, and ended up, you know, and you know, got to know Carlos with the Yankees and really, you know, looking forward to what he can do. You know, Luis Severino's had a couple of good starts here, looks like. And obviously a lot of Yankee people there, but I'm rooting for the Mets, you know, like I look at the people that I know over there and say, you know what, this is, you know, it's going to be fun to watch them try to succeed. And they've played well, but again, I'll caution you the same thing. You know, what was everybody saying about them the first week of the season? You know, what's everybody saying about them now?
Punt season, David Stearns is turning them into the Milwaukee Mets.
Yeah. You really can't live like that. And
that's what we do in New York.
I understand, but you know, and funny thing, like I always used to take my cue and how I wanted to respond about it by, you know, when, because we have the ability to talk to the managers and the players, and when you see the good ones, they don't get shaken by losing streaks or a loss, and they don't get too high after a win.
Right.
Then you kind of understand what their mind frame is, and what you are, you know, what you're trying to convey to the fans is what each game means to the team. And that's kind of what I was trying to get after. And I think that's what we have to look at when you look at the Mets right now, is that, you know, they weren't punting after a week and they're not planning parades now. You know, so I think you just look at the fact that, you know, again, you look at them and say, do you think they can win 90? Do they have good players? You think they can win 90, then they're, you know, you're talking about chance for a playoffs. And you've had teams, because of the playoff format and the way it works now, you know, you've got to, you know, just get in, get healthy, get hot. And those things can lead you very far. We saw it with the Diamondbacks. We saw it with the Phillies, you know, just out of the National League the last couple of years. And that's, you know, that's really just a blueprint for everybody. Not a blueprint necessarily, but just a way of hoping how the season can turn out for you. If you're any team that, you know, has even just a hint of playoff contention about you, you have a chance to do it. And I hope the Mets are doing the same thing. Listen, I'm watching. I've got screens with every game on every night, and paying attention as we cover the sport on MLB's social media channels. And I have a part in, you know, I have one voice in shaping how those come out. So follow MLB socials if you're not already. And you mentioned I did have a chance to write an article for Jackie Robinson Day coverage on MLB.com. So go check that out. And, you know, these are the kinds of things that keep me interested. But I'm still living here and watching all these teams and hoping that everybody succeeds in the local area.
Yes, sir. Sweeney, before I let you go, I'm going to set you up. Now, I don't know if you have a specific John Sterling story, a one-to-one story or something to share, but I'll give you some time to think about it. Yesterday, I had Laura Albanese on, who writes for Newsday, and she talked about how, you know, John would have her on years ago, and you know how you can't, like, John has his, like, flip phone, and you can't text John, and she talked about how John was trying to call her he was trying to call Newsday and get in touch with her. And then when he finally did get a hold of her, he was like, Laura, I've been looking for you for everywhere, like via phone, to tell her about like a murder mystery that was airing on TV. I told you about how I powwowed with John about my show, KM the 2 AM, and John was telling me what he would like to hear. And you know, we were kind of laughing like, no, that's specifically what John would like to hear on his ride home. Like, John wanted me to do, like, around the league and take a look at all the different divisions and matchups every night. And I'm like, John, that's not going to happen. These callers do not care about Diamondbacks Giants going on tonight. Do you have a story for us with you, John Sterling, that you could share on the Fan?
No, I just think that, you know, everything that you've heard and all the calls that you hear and you keep hearing, it just takes you back to all the great memories of it. And there, he's tied into Like you mentioned earlier, you know, he's tied into Derek Jeter and Bernie Williams and Mariano Rivera and all those great moments. You know, for me, it's like, I don't know what I can boil it down to one, because I've had the pleasure and the privilege of sitting with him
a lot,
and being part of things with him. But I will tell you, I remember vividly the day after the 1996 World Series. It was a Sunday morning. The Yankees won a game six on Saturday night. Mike Frances was on Sunday morning. And a guy calls in and says, I want you to put my son on the air. He does a great John Sterling impression. I said, how old is he? He says, he's 2. I said, I'm sorry, what? And I said, let me hear it. So he puts his son on the air, on the phone with me, not on the air. And he does this impression for me. And I said, all right, hold on a minute. And Mike's Sunday show was supposed to be a football show, but that day, because the Yankees, day after the Yankees won the World Series, it was all Yankees. First time they'd won in 18 years. So I told Mike, I said, Mike, in this group of calls here, this guy here, he has a 2-year-old who actually does a great John Sterling impression. And I heard it. It's actually pretty good. If he manages to do it again, you know, I think you're going to like it. He goes, all right, put him on. So this guy, and I forget where he's from, but I remember his name was Nate. He was 2 years old. He gets on the air, and in a little 2-year-old voice, Mike cues him up, and he says, it is high, it is far, it is gone. The Yankees win, the Yankees win. And Mike's howling, and like the kid nailed it, right? And John heard it, because I remember talking to him, I think maybe later that morning. I think he called in. And the fact that what I laugh about now is that that kid is 30 years old. And okay,
he might be listening right now.
And maybe he's listening now. Maybe he's a Yankee fan. Maybe he has a family now, right? And his kids are doing the same thing, listening to John Sterling. But those are the things, like I said earlier, you know, kids in the playground who are doing his home run calls, and you just take that and you grow up, and that it takes you to a part of your life. That's the beautiful thing about whatever announcers you grew up with. You know, earlier, and if you're Mets fans, you know, Howie Rose, Gary Cohen, Bob Murphy to the generation before, any of these guys who, you know, I grew up listening to Phillies games, and Harry Callis did the same thing for me. So all of these great voices, they just ingrain themselves in your mind and can in an instant take you back to a childhood memory or another part of your life that's important to you, with family, friends, whatever the case may be. And John's voice does that for so many people. And whatever critics there are of him, and I know there are, that's the point they're missing, is that people don't really care necessarily if he missed this call or if this happened and that happened, because the second you hear his voice, you're going to a different place in your mind. And that's what the beautiful thing about baseball and the radio really is.
It's powerful. It's powerful. Man, I appreciate you so much, Sweeney. I hope to see you Saturday if you can make it. If not, I'm sure we'll run into each other either at David Cohn's golf outing or Bernie Williams softball event, something like that coming up, right?
Keith, I hope much more success to you. Keep it going. You just keep getting better and better at this, as anybody who keeps doing it does. So, thanks for letting me come on. Thanks for asking me to come on. And I appreciate you.